seen a couple stories about your pastor, and they said, oh, you should share those. I said, oh, I don't think I'll be invited back, maybe, if that happens. But no, I just, I do have a connection with Pastor Phil. He and I, you know, would go to church camp, the same Open Bible church camp in Clear Lake when we were kids. His sisters would go, and Dave Freeman would go, and a lot of us, we'd all ride together, and we just had a fun time on that big old long bus driving all the way to Clear Lake. And anyway, yeah, and then when we got to Bible college, Pastor Phil and I roomed in the same dorm for one semester, so that was an interesting time too. I enjoyed it. It was a good time. He wasn't a slob, but neither was I, so it worked out just right. So I want you to know that I am very excited about what God's doing in your lives, in your hearts. No one was more surprised on the 31st. How many of you were here the day I just got up and gave that testimony? I just felt like the Lord wanted me to share that. I was kind of innocuous about it. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll share it. And I didn't know. I mean, it was such a God moment. I mean, it was a God moment for you guys, but it was a God moment for me. I didn't know it was going to be like that. So God is here. I really believe he's given me a message specifically for this church, and I want you to take it and run with it. I want you not to just listen to me today. I want you to take the scriptures that we look at today and go over them and over them and over them and light a fire in your own life. Anybody hear what I'm saying? How many are ready for a fire to be lit in your life? Lord, you see those hands that just raised. How about let's get a few more people? Anybody else, you're kind of like, well, maybe I'd kind of like to be on fire. I don't know, maybe. How many would maybe like to be on fire? Anybody raise your hand for that? Okay, there's just a couple. Well, yeah, maybe. Okay, Lord, take them too. My message today is called Greater Things. I want you to turn with me to John 14, verses 12 through 14. Greater Things. John 14, verses 12 through 14. Jesus is talking here, and he's saying this to his disciples. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Father, we just pray that you would touch your people today. I pray, Father, that they would take this word seriously, that they would not just hear it with their ears, but they would apply it in their heart, and that it would start to transform who they are. That this church would be a city on a hill, as it were, to this community. That there would be people that would come from the north, the south, the east, and the west to Boone Open Bible Church simply to find out who Jesus really is. And Lord, I pray that as we go out into the world, Lord, that you would make us light and salt. That we'd make people hungry and make them thirsty for the things of God. I pray, God, that there would be supernatural things happen with these people that are sitting here today, that you would start moving in miraculous ways in and through their lives to others that are outside the walls of this church. We ask for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I used to have the opportunity to, well, I still do delivery. I drive a truck. A little bit different now, but I used to listen to the radio all day long, and I used to listen to different radio preachers, and there was one preacher that somebody asked him about this exact scripture. What did Jesus mean when he said the church could do greater things? And he said, well, certainly he didn't mean that we would do greater things. It just means that we would do more things because there's more of us. Is that what we just read? Is that what we just read? Listen to this. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. How many of you have been raising the dead lately? I'd like to raise my hand and say I've got three or four people raised from the dead. It hasn't happened yet, but you know what? We should believe for it. Amen? Anyone who has faith in me should be doing what I've been doing. Jesus did, didn't he? He will do even greater things than these. And why? Because I'm going to the Father. So Jesus said, you're going to do greater things because I'm going away and the Holy Spirit is going to come. Now, he didn't say that in the scripture, but we know he said, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's what he was talking about. And listen to the last part of this. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Do you know it's the heart's desire of Jesus that we do greater things than he did? Let that sink in. He desires his kingdom to come to this world. He started the kingdom. He came and he said, the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of God is at hand. He said those kind of things while he was on the earth. And he continued to fill up his disciples with all this experience for ministry, all the scriptures and all the things that they needed. And the Holy Spirit came along with that so they could do greater things. That's what he meant. I really believe that. Listen to this. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7 says this. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. What does that mean? Jesus came to establish a different kingdom in this world when he came. How many believe that? That's exactly what he means. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And listen to this. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Now, what does that mean? That means that Jesus came to this world, established a kingdom, and we became part of his kingdom, and now we're to always increase his kingdom. That's his desire. That's what he wants us to do. Jesus said this in Mark 4. He said this, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what shall we use to describe it? Listen to this. He said, it is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows to become the largest of all garden plants with such great branches, such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. Jesus was saying, it's going to start really small, guys, but it's going to become greater and bigger and bigger, and the birds of the air are going to be able to rest in the shade of it. It's going to be overshadowing of this world. It's a world kingdom. It's a kingdom that is ever increasing. He wants his kingdom to increase. Let me ask you this question. How much are you helping him increase his kingdom? We need to be doing that all the time. That's what we're about. That's what we should be about. That's what he wants us to do. I don't know if some of you are scared because it's kind of quiet in here. It's getting real quiet. Don't be afraid. God wants you to be excited about your life. He wants you to be excited about serving him. And he wants the world to know who you serve. Thank you. I think I'll preach right here. Listen to this. Jesus was transfigured. How many of you remember the story of the transfiguration when he was illuminated? It says here, Luke 9:29 says this, as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. How many of you have ever watched the Ten Commandments? Remember what happened to Moses when he went up on the mountain and he met with God? The way they portray it is he turned gray. But you know, there is such a thing as being transformed by being in God's presence. There are times that my wife has come home from a prayer meeting and I could look at her in her eyes and her eyes were just like lasers and I'm like, you are lit. And I meant that in the best possible way. Why is that? Because there's a power that comes in when we wait upon the Lord, when we are in His Word, when we're feasting on Him instead of feasting on whatever is on TV. I'm guilty of that. God wants us to be transformed, just the way Jesus was. Jesus was transfigured before His disciples. And when that happened, He was showing them that this is a spiritual kingdom. And here, the disciples could learn the same thing. They could become transformed. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, that's exactly what happened to them. How many of us know that if we're going to do the things that God wants us to do, we have to be transformed? We can't be the way we've been. Now, the interesting thing about that is that sometimes we get to thinking, well, if we have to be transformed, then I'm not going to like how I look or what I'm going to be like with people. You know, it's not like that. Jesus takes our personality and He uses us in the way that we are. So don't be afraid to allow God to transform your life. Don't be afraid of that. Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is a good part here. I know you guys have probably heard this many times. Paul told us, therefore, I urge you, brothers, and in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Not dead sacrifices. Not killing ourselves. But going to the God and saying, Lord, I offer you as a servant. I offer myself to you as a servant. Use me as you would. It says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And he says this, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there's this thing that has to happen. You know, first of all, Jesus said to be born again. We've got to start with that. But I have a pastor friend that when God really rocked his world, here he's pastoring, God rocked his world again. He said, I became born again. I think that's a good phrase. We need to become born again. You know, if you don't plug in your phone, what happens? It dies. Our phones need transformation. They need more power. We need more power sometimes. Most of the time. We need to be transformed. And by the way, just in case you're thinking, well, Jesus was transfigured, and we need to be transformed. Guess what? It's the same word in the Greek. It's, you know, I'm real good with the Greek, you know, just like I am with English. So, metamorphoth is the way I say it. Transfigured or transformation, either one is the same experience. If Jesus was transfigured before his disciples, then he's showing us a picture. We need to be transformed as well. We need that as well. So, we're to the part of this message where we have to ask a question. How is it possible for us to be transformed? How is that possible? I think we need to start. You know, obviously, I said it already, we have to be born again. We have to start with making Jesus. We need to apply the blood of Jesus to our heart and life, ask Him to forgive us of our sin, but we also have to present our bodies as living sacrifices. It's kind of like, you know, if you didn't have a job and you knew somebody was offering you a job downtown, you go to such and such a corner, you go down there, and you show up and you say, I'm here to work. If you did that with Jesus, you come down here to the altar and say, Lord, I'm here to work. He's like, good. We're going to do transformation now. That's what He wants. He wants to be living sacrifices, willing to give what we have. So let's do this. If you're a stick in the mud, if you don't want to do all this, don't do it. I'm not asking people to be, this is not against your will. But anyone who wants that transformation today, would you do something with me? Would you just stand for a moment? I just want you to raise your hands like this. Stand with me if you want that. Raise your hands. Let's pray this simple prayer. Just repeat after me. See, Lord, here I am. Take me. Have all of me. Transform me, Lord, to present your kingdom to my world. Let your kingdom be revealed through me. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, I've talked about it before, that the Word of God is important. But the Word of God, I mean, we have to be in the Word. We have to do that. And I've said it for many years, and I don't know if you guys have heard me say it or not, but this Bible isn't something. How many of you know that? This Bible isn't something. This is someone. Oh, I'm not hearing anything. Am I in the right church? This is the open Bible, right? Okay. We have the Bible open before us, right? Okay. Let me say that again. This Bible isn't something. This is someone. Who is it? We have to know Jesus. We have to get in His Word to know who He is. And not only that, then we need to be baptized with spiritual baptism. Sometimes that's, you know, praying for speaking in tongues. Sometimes it's just praying that God will touch us again, or renew us, or refill us. Whatever terms you want to use, there's always more to living for God than just, you know, praying a prayer, getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. Oh, then we kind of act like you're in church. Everything's good now. We're good. Yeah. We think one time we'll do it. No. The longer I live, the more I realize I have a need for God. I have a need to be plugged into Him every day. I have the need to say, Lord, here I am. I present myself as a living sacrifice to you. Take me and use me for your glory and your kingdom. This morning I went into Pastor Phil's office and I just wanted to worship the Lord. I'm kind of new to all these gadgets. You know, Pastor Phil's into these gadgets. I went in there. I told Pastor Jacob, I said, I saw his stereo sitting there, beautiful stereo, and he had an Amazon thing. I watch TV. I've seen those things, and I'm like, I was looking for CDs, though. I couldn't find these. You know, I'm old school. I'm looking for a CD, and then I'm like, well, there's that thing there. Amazon, give me some worship music. It didn't do anything. Okay, well, I guess I don't need it. I just worship the Lord. I pray. Pretty soon I went back over and I said something else about worship music, and I didn't do anything, but I pushed a button, and I said, worship music. Well, I need worship music for you. Oh. And in short order, I was in the presence of the Lord. don't take time outside the walls of this church to meet with God on a personal level every day, you're going to be very weak and vulnerable. We've all got to do it. If we're going to be able to do greater things, then we've got to plug into the source. So, you know, we started living for God through the Spirit, didn't we? We asked Him to come into our heart, which is representative of our mind, will, and emotions. That's, some people call that our soul. Sometimes we call it our spirit. I'm not going to get into all that right now, but we did a change not by conforming. We didn't say, we didn't come into church and say, well, I think I'll just go to church here, and I'll just, what's everyone else do? Oh, they raise their hands right now? Okay. I'm going to raise my hands right now. This is what I'm going to do. No, there was a heart transformation, wasn't there? There was a heart transformation. Paul said, don't conform to the world. And we have a church world. Sometimes church can look more like the world. We can come into the church, come into a church and say, I'm just going to do what they do. That's conforming. If you just do the things that everyone else is doing. If it isn't in here, then it's not going to be transformation. You guys with me? Listen to this. Galatians 3. Paul said this to the Galatian church. I don't know how to say it the other way. Galatian church, yeah. Forgotten how to say it. He said, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning in the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? You know, we're guilty of this. We live for the Lord for a long time, and then we're like, I gotta do better. I gotta quit thinking about that, and I gotta do this. Are we conforming, or are we being transformed? We can't just grit our teeth to make things better. It doesn't work that way. It has to be us surrendering to God. When we surrender to God, then He does His work in us. How many know what I'm saying? You see, we started out this walk with the Lord not in conforming, but by simply being transformed in our heart first. And then the heart has to be overwhelmed with our heart. You know, it starts in our heart, and then it starts coming out to how we think, how we talk, and our actions and what we do. That's how transformation happens. So, I want you, if you've been trying to please God by being more spiritual, by doing more spiritual things, I want you to give that up. Did you hear what I said? I want you to give that up. I want you to simply say, no, I'm not going to grit my teeth and try to do it better. I'm going to just let it go and say, Lord, I'm yours, and I want you to take me and teach me who you are, and I want to walk with you. I want to hear your voice in my life. And by the way, prayer isn't just telling God what you want. It's letting Him talk to you to see what He wants from you. I pray everyone does that. I pray everyone here doesn't just pray their laundry list of things that they want from God. I pray that they're saying, Lord, what do you want from me today? What would you say to me? You know, He wants to just talk to you. He wants to hear your voice. He wants you to hear His voice. That's where transformation happens. Second Corinthians 3:18 says this, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being are being transformed, there's that word again, into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Guess what? It didn't come from just, you know, some religious act, but it comes from the Spirit. Transformation happens from glory to glory to glory. You know, we're not supposed to get saved and then just sit down and say, well, I wonder when Jesus is going to come. The world's getting bad. I think I'll sit down and wait for him. We're guilty of that, aren't we? It's interesting to me. I want to read one scripture here in Revelation 21. I found this the other day, and I've read it before, but I thought it was fitting for this message today. God the Father is talking here. Revelation 21, and we'll start at 8. Well, let's start at 7. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magical arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. It's interesting to me. The first two things that he says, you know, there's a lot of bad people in there, isn't there? Murderers, sexually immoral, those who are into magic arts, idolaters and liars, those are all bad people. We expect that, right? I mean, that's bad. Can't be like that. We know they're going to hell. We know they're going to be in the lake of fire. That's just what God said. But look at the first two in the category there. He says, but the cowardly. The cowardly. And the unbelieving. The cowardly and the unbelieving. We in the church for so long have thought, oh, well, it's getting bad. We're just going to pray for Jesus' return. And I'm not against that, okay? I am not against that. And I'm for that. If Jesus came before I'm done preaching, that's all right with me. But we got this sense in the church that, oh, it's going to get bad, and then we're going to have to hide. And who said we're supposed to hide? Who said we're supposed to cow down to this world? The cowardly and the unbelieving are going to be in the lake of fire. Don't be part of that group. We need to stand up. We need to be transformed as Jesus' body, as his bride. We need to be transformed into glory to glory to glory. It needs to be getting brighter and brighter and brighter. I think it's in Psalms. It says that the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter until the full light of day. So what's that mean? It means that we're just going to be so in love with Jesus and so on fire with him and so caught up in him. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. We're just going to go from one glory to another, to another, to another, until one day we're in heaven. And we're going to be like, it just got better and better and better. That doesn't sound like a place for the cowardly and the unbelieving there, does it? Paul said it like this. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. He says, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence. Excuse me. I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Kind of sounds like that song we were singing this morning, right? I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message was not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Sounds like a transformed person to me. How many of you want to be transformed like that? Stand with me. Raise your hands. Lord, we're yielding ourselves to you. We are asking for transformation to happen right now. That we'd go from one small glory to another. Touch your people even now. Holy Spirit, come. Do your work. Do your work. I want you to imagine something with me. Just imagine this. I have a vivid imagination. I just want you to imagine that the Holy Spirit's coming into this room right now and dropping in people's hearts and transforming them right now. I see it, Lord. I see it. I see it. I see it. I see you transforming hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm just wondering if there might be someone here. We're just going to continue. You just worship the Lord now, just for in your way right now. Is there anybody here that you've been having trouble with your left thumb? You got pain in your left thumb. Anybody? Do you? You do. All right. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you touch Lisa Hoffman right now. That you would take the pain in that left thumb away. Arthritis, be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there anybody here? Anyone else have something you want to pray for a healing, something? Raylene? Okay. Can some of you just go over there to Raylene and lay your hands on her? Those in faith believing? Father, right now we pray over Raylene's body. We pray, God, for this finger. We pray for every finger and both of her thumbs would be healed, whether it's arthritis, whether it's carpal tunnel. We come against it by the power of Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. I know it's time to dismiss. What I'm going to do, I don't want us to change completely what we're doing right now, but I don't want to hold up the lunch as well either. And so what I want to do is dismiss those who want to go ahead and go eat. But I do want to continue to pray for those. I asked my wife to come and be with me. And there's a few people that I want to pray with that I've felt like the Lord has given me a word for. So, John and Lisa, would you come down? I want to pray for you. And if there's those of you who just, you say, spaghetti can wait, that's good. You can come down and we'll pray for you as well. So, Lord, we thank you for this day. We are believing that you have transformed your church, that they're plugged in, and that they're waiting on your power. We thank you, Father, for that. We ask your blessings on the church. Be with Pastor Phil and Naomi and watch over them and give them a great time of relaxation and rest and rejuvenation and being recharged and re-transformed into your image, Lord. We thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name. If you want to stay, you can. If you want to leave, you can. It's totally up to you. But I just don't want to interrupt what's going on over there this morning as well. So.